9 nervy games left for fans of Liverpool, Manchester City and Arsenal. Mossy, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Well, I'm much better after the weekend's rounds, Middo. Liverpool shot to the top of the pops, and as you said, it's going to be a nervy run home. It's fantastic. It's probably going to be one of the closest three-way ties for the title in recent history. Just looking ahead, crystal balling it just a little bit. Liverpool with Manchester United away, Spurs at home, Villa away in that run. Arsenal, Villa at home, Chelsea at home, Spurs away, Manchester United away, and City with Villa home, Spurs away. And there's other games, of course, but they're the ones that really stand out as the big roadblocks to those three teams lifting the title. You'd have to agree with Pep Guardiola after the weekend that given Liverpool had that 2 and 3 point lead over Arsenal and Man City, respectively. They are favourites now. It's theirs to lose. But, gee, it's tight. You cannot afford a slip up.
Ange keeps his top four hopes alive, though, with Tottenham.
Yeah, it was a late show again, Loz. And I think the thing is, I think that's the fifth game in a row at home where they've had to come from behind to get the 3 points. So that's something that Ange's, no doubt addressing behind the scenes, because you just in the run home when it's so tight with Villa to get that fourth spot in Champions League, which would be a huge tick of approval for Ange's first season if they can nail that fourth spot. You can't afford to be coming from behind all the time, although they are becoming a specialist at it. So maybe you stick with what's working.
Oh, gee, we've got a big midweek Premier League round as well. Tottenham tomorrow at West Ham in a big London derby, that is, for Ange tomorrow. So and City got Villa Thursday morning, Liverpool, Sheffield United Friday morning. So the games are going to come thick and fast very quickly there. But, that's a big game for Spurs tomorrow.
It certainly is, absolutely. And as you said, London derby. I think the key is the mindset, like how players recover, how they handle a load at this time of the season. It's always a challenge, and particularly when the pressure's on for those final spots. But the other game that sticks out for very different reasons is Chelsea-Manchester United on Friday morning. And Chelsea was so woeful on the weekend, and Pochettino under all sorts of pressure. They look anything but a big Premier League club at the moment. I mean, they drew 2-2 to Burnley. Burnley were down at, this is at Stamford Bridge, by the way, and Burnley were down to 10 men from about the 40th minute, and Chelsea still couldn't put them to the sword. They were booed off the pitch. And Manchester United got the go-ahead goal on the weekend against Brentford, at Brentford, in the 96th minute, only to concede in the 99th minute. For a 1-1 draw, you can't help it. And the defending for the Brentford goal, mate, was schoolboy stuff. Like, just, you know, allowing the ball to bounce in the penalty area, and just the simple basics of defending when you've got to manage a game out to take the 3 points. It's if Ten Hag had any hair, he'd be pulling it out.
I reckon he would. Hey, Mossy, this caught my eye on the weekend. The Arsenal versus Chelsea women's game, with the cup final, and the Chelsea manager coming at the Arsenal manager. What was the go there?
Well, I can only imagine.
Did she put it down to male aggression or something?
I don't know. I can't comment on it, Loz, because I've got no idea what sparked it, but what I will say is it was great to see Arsenal lift the trophy, because it's becoming what are they calling it? Arsenal, because there's so many Matildas in the side, with Steph Catley and Ford, and Cooney Cross has also gone there. So great to see some Aussies with hands on silverware, but I'm not going to add to the...
You can't go and charge someone like that, regardless of... What gender you are?
Exactly right. No. She basically pushed him in the chest, didn't she?
Mate, she made a beeline straight at him.
Yeah. Well, she's So Emma Hayes is she's won all before with Chelsea, and obviously Sam Kerr out injured. She's headed for the US national women's team job after this season. So yeah, clearly emotions running high, and they got the better of her.
Well, she described the Arsenal boss as fronting up with players. That prompted her reaction, whatever that means. Mm. But she called it, what was it, male aggression, I think is what you said. So she's obviously taken some exception to maybe some protesting something. Of the Arsenal manager on the sideline.
But you'd get fined for that, wouldn't you? Well, I'm assuming.
Yes.
You'd have to.
Yeah. But yeah, no, great to see, obviously, as Mossy mentioned, Steph Catley, Caitlin Ford, Kyra Cooney-Cross triumphing there. And of course, in Sam Kerr's absence at Chelsea. And while we're on women's football, what about the disaster for Sydney FC in the A-League-W?
It was, it wasn't what anyone was expecting to see. I mean, first of all, credit Dario Vidicic, the ex-Socceroo and Melbourne City. They've won the Premier's Plate in the A-League Women's in Dario's first season in charge. So great credit to him and Melbourne City. But Sydney FC had two chances last week to wrap up their fourth straight Premier's Plate, but they couldn't get the job done. And then on the weekend, the Big Blue, which was played before Melbourne City played Perth, away in Perth, they got walloped 4-0 by Melbourne Victory to really put Melbourne City's hands on the steering wheel for that one, and they took full advantage. But, yeah, certainly there'll be some sore heads for all the wrong reasons in the Sydney FC dressing room this morning, but they have to pick themselves up because the finals start, and, no doubt they'll be determined to get their hands on the grand final trophy.
Righto. What about the men's A-League? The Wanderers have now gone back-to-back. Are they improving, and can they do some damage if they make it through to the finals?
They certainly can, Loz. I was out there calling that one for Paramount Plus and out there at Campbelltown Stadium yesterday, and it was oppressive conditions. It was really hot out there, 35 degrees at kickoff. MacArthur dominated the first half by a fair way, and Marco Rudan admitted as much in his post-match interview. But Western Sydney turned it around second half. He made two substitutions in the 52nd minute, Rudan, and that really turned the game in his team's favour. We saw an unbelievable goal from substitute Nicholas Milanovic that got them ahead. And the difference between the two teams and the two halves was MacArthur dominated first half, didn't take their chances. Western Sydney dominated the second half, took their chances, win the game 3-1. But I think their focus has returned, Loz. I think they took their eye off the ball for a few weeks there with Rudan getting that touchline ban for his outbursts against referees and administrators. But I think he's got them focused again. He's back in the technical area. And look, they're a force to be reckoned with because they've got a very good squad that can definitely go all the way.
And I know it's difficult for you, Mossy, but I'm just glad that we, of course, all got to air after the production company Global Advance went into administration. So at least a deal was able to be done so the broadcast arrangement for the A-League could be satisfied, I guess, over the course of the Easter weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I'm not privy to what went on behind the scenes, but the A-League goes to air for the rest of the season, and I'm sure it'll be in a healthy position moving forward as well.
Great stuff, mate. Thank you so much. Enjoy the midweek Premier League as well. It's going to be intriguing viewing between now and basically June.
Yeah, that's right. Can't wait, Middle, and we'll talk again Friday.